If you would have to say one thing that the year of 2020 has had plenty of, it is definitely hardships and challenges. And in order to overcome these challenges, you need to build resilience and you will need to be stronger than you were yesterday. Because if you are not growing as a person, and if you are not growing from yesterday, you will not make it to tomorrow. And with thousands and thousands of people losing their jobs and incomes, there is a greater need than ever before of realizing how strong you actually are and how strong you can actually become if you work on yourself and build and build and improve constantly. Resilience is the topic of today's conversation with Herman, and trust me, there's definitely a lot of insight to be gained from this conversation. But before we jump straight into the conversation, I would love to see you share the episode on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or wherever you are finding yourself. And you can find me under the name of @justaconvo with two O's on Facebook and Instagram. And as always, you find the webpage at justaconvo.com. Enjoy. When Herman approached me through a service called Matchmaker, none of us knew what we wanted to or what we were gonna talk about on this episode. But she immediately mentioned that we should do an episode on building resilience. And honestly, I definitely couldn't be any happier because resilience is definitely something that everyone can improve on and work with. And it's a topic that personally I feel very passionate about. And so without said, and without dragging it out any longer, I have to say thank you and welcome, Herman. And I do need a little bit of help with pronouncing your last name.
You can forget it. Gabriel Sadik, but it's very hard. I know you guys can't spell it.
Yeah, thank you and welcome. And before we get into the meat and the deep stuff of it all, I want to know, who are you? I want to know who I'm talking with.
Okay. So, well, my name is Herman Gabrazadek, to make it full name.
Mm-hmm.
Born and raised in Ethiopia, East Africa, for those of you who don't know. And I'm a coffee lover.
Right.
That's, I think that's my biggest part of my personality is coffee. I work in coffee. I drink coffee. I live for coffee. So.
That's awesome.
I started working at my family company when I was 20, about 6+ years ago. And right now, in 2018, we relocated to Dubai. And I'm working from our office here. So okay. I live in Ethiopia and Dubai right now.
Right. Yeah. And we, like I mentioned, or like you know too, we are planning to talk about resilience. And personally, that's a topic that I have a lot to say about, because I feel like it's something that not everyone is conscious about and is consciously working on within themselves. But personally, for you, why do you feel the need and why do you have such a passion for speaking about resilience on a personal level?
The reason why I actually suggested resilience right now was because of everything the world is going through. Resilience is a very important topic to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, like a lot of people are losing their jobs. A lot of people are closing their business. And, you know, we can't live in this little cocoon forever.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to get out of quarantine. The world is going to go back to the way
it was,
hopefully. And we're going to need to be able to make a comeback. So if we can get started from now, it will be great. For me personally, resilience is an important topic because I've had to be resilient, not by choice, but by force, because life forced me to be resilient to different situations that have occurred. Nothing too heavy, fortunately. It's not like I went through something really dramatic, but because of work and because of politics, resilience has been a very important type part of my characteristics that I had to build.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And anybody could relate to that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I mean, I'm happy, and I'm happy that personally I haven't really faced that many hardships.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of it, comparing to other people, other individuals, I haven't really faced any hardships or adversities. And sure, I'm happy about it, but it would, at the same time, I think hardships and problems in life is a, or can at least be a very good thing in the long run. And yeah. And but despite that, I still want to, or I consider myself a very resilient person. And I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what I consider myself as. Yeah, I hope so. But how, I mean, since I can't speak from a personal perspective, and since you can do that, how do you think these hardships or problems and adversities can change a person, whether it's good or bad? How do you think it may change a person, if it does?
Honestly, those hardships, I don't think they actually change you.
Mm-hmm.
They change how you approach things. At least that's how it was for me. Of course, some people's life could be completely flipped upside down. They can have a completely different life after certain events or situations that happen. But at least from my perspective, it didn't change who I am. It changed how I approach things. So,
How do you mean when you say how you approach things?
I think for one of the times in my life where I had to build resilience has to be with business. Over the years, I started, invested in a couple of companies. Some of them didn't make it. Some of mm-hmm. them put me down with them.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're still standing.
Yeah. So yeah. That's what I mean. Like, of course, I was also a lot younger then, and I made some horrible decisions, which at the time I didn't think was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I took all my investment, it took me down with all my money that I had invested in those businesses. And it wasn't just once. It happened like two or three times.
Okay.
Two times, really.
That must be really hard. I mean, I've never invested in anything, but I can't even imagine losing, I'm sure, a large amount of money into something that you really believed in.
At the same time, it wasn't just me. Like, I work with my family, so when I go down, I'm not just going down, I'm responsible for everybody else as well. I'm taking my whole family down with me, and that was a big responsibility to shoulder. And when you fail in this type of situations, it's not just, oh, what the hell did I just do, it's what have I put everybody else through.
Right. Yes, you felt that sense of like responsibility, and mm-hmm. would you say that's the hardest part? And not, it's, would you say, yeah, the, would you say the hardest part is not about losing the actual money and more about
letting people down?
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the reasons for my failure that I knew at that point was trusting people the way I shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one way I have reshaped myself as by being a little bit more strict with my risk analysis and how I deal with people. Mm-hmm. So like, this is how it has shaped me into working, like moving forward. And it's about how I deal with things, how I approach the businesses. Even like when you analyze if a business is the right way to, if this business is the right business for you, if this is the right way to go, it's every step forward that I take, I was a little bit more cautious and a little bit more, I guess, smarter about my decisions I was making. So,
right. Would you say you're getting, this is completely spontaneous, but would you say you're getting like too conscious about the decisions you make? Because Personally, I'm a very spontaneous individual in terms of what I do professionally. Like I can do one day, I can do this, and the next day I do that. But both things are equally fun for me. Being too conscious or aware of what you do can, I think, if it's taken too far, can be a negative thing, would you say? It could be a negative thing.
It was. Like, not about the conscious part alone, was about being so cautious. Mm-hmm. So, especially after the first business that went wrong, I think I didn't work. Like, I didn't invest in things. Of course, I was working my day job, but I didn't want to invest in anything. I just wanted to stay clean for almost half a year. Like, I was so afraid to do anything.
Right.
So, but luckily for me, that was the time my brother joined the company as well. He graduated from college and then he came in. So again, like, I knew I could not let him start working in the same fearful zone that I was in. So I had to open up a little bit, and having him help me and, you know, share the risk, share the responsibility was a great opportunity.
Right. And so you said you were too afraid to really take any kind of steps. And but eventually when your, you said brother, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when your brother joined, then there's a sense of responsibility. And that responsibility that you felt, I'm sure that was the driving force of actually starting to take risks and trying to do to more for move forward in a positive light. And that force that keeps a person to move forward in these positive lights, each individual has to find their own light. And I think that's a very personal question that you can't really have an answer to for the masses, and each individual has to find their own answer.
Yeah.
But personally, for you, how would you say an individual can try to find that driving force and start to take the risks and not let these hardships and bad situations drag them down and like completely ruin even on a personal level?
So here's like, this would be my general suggestion for anybody. Number one is, don't take anything that happens personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think having that very personalized approach to things will not allow you to step out of it. Know that everybody, especially the people that you really do look up to, have been through some type of hardship that they had to come back from. And I don't like measuring adversity based on what happened. I like measuring it based on the impact it had on the individual, because one person may be able to handle more than the other person. But the effect is going to be more or less similar, let's say.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to go through the same experience, but the impact it had on each and everybody could be the same. And just accept that, know that, don't take it personally. Another thing will be to adjust your perspective. Again, not being the victim in the situation. I think I did that. I was like, oh my God, this is happening to me, specifically to me. That's an attack on me. But if you keep on having that, then you're giving the situation you're in, others, your community, your environment, the power over you.
Mm.
They have the power over you, but then you're not in control. You cannot do anything. You can't really change your life or change the narrative.
No.
At the same time, you have to accept the inevitable. You have to know. Yeah, because there's so many things that can go wrong. No matter how perfectly you mapped it out on paper, there are 1,000 situations beyond your knowledge, beyond your control, that can go wrong. So just accept that, and you have to be flexible for change.
I love that you say that, because like you say, you can plan all you want. You can make map out this perfect plan that's going to lead to these great things. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you have zero control about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
In some senses, at least.
No, I mean, you have control over how you react to it, but you don't have control over what happens.
Yeah.
That's the difference, yeah.
Exactly. And all you can do really is do your absolute best and perform at the top level, on your personal top level. And if you do that, then you've done all you can do. You can't, then there's no reason for you to feel bad or feel that you let yourself or anyone else down, because you've done all you can, and that's really the most important thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One thing I also recommend to everybody, by the way, is the SWOT analysis. I know it's mostly for businesses and organizations to use this, but I apply it on my own personal life every time I'm stepping into something new, every time I'm doing something different, I guess, I always do the SWOT analysis.
Right. So can you explain what it is? What it is?
Oh, the SWOT analysis is a little quadrant that you make. And you have your strength on the top left. You got your weaknesses on the top right. Opportunity on the bottom left. And threat on the bottom right.
Mm.
So there it goes, like SWOT.
Right. Okay, it's an acronym.
So you write down your strengths. You write down your weaknesses. You write down your opportunity and your threats. So your strengths are part of your characteristics that, and you know, anything that you have that you can hold to your advantage for any situations that you're in. Your weakness is something that will hold you back, something that's part of you. It's not outside you, it's part of you. Maybe you're not focused, maybe you give up very quickly. Those could be your weaknesses. So there's your opportunity that you could take advantage of, obviously, opportunities that you're not taking advantage of. And threats could be anything beyond your control.
Yeah. And I think that's a great approach, because me as an individual, I follow my gut. I don't do any kind of analysis. I go by the gut feeling. I wake up one day and I feel like this is what I want to do and this is what I'm gonna do. And if it's a great option to do, then that's awesome. But if it's not, doesn't matter, because I'm still gonna do it, because it makes sense to me and it makes me happy and all that stuff. But I like the approach because it's very structured, and I think I need a bit of that in my life. I think I need a bit of structure.
No, I found it so, I mean, this is found in every business book.
Mm.
Companies use this whenever they're making new investments or new direction. But it's a very simple approach to apply on your own life.
Mm. Yeah.
Make you aware of the situation as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I used to study for a bit, a few months, PR and communication. So I recognize the model, analysis. And speaking of resilience, we've been talking about resilience, but we haven't even defined it. Because when I was doing research for this conversation we're having, the definition I found, among many, of course, is how well you can deal with and bounce back from the difficulties of life. And it can mean the difference between handling pressure and losing your cool. And that's the definition I found, because before I was Googling on resilience, I really had no idea what to define it as. Because sure, a person can handle different situations in different ways and come out of it on different levels. But how, I guess, Because personally, I don't know how I define resilience. It's a tough, it's a word, it's a great word, and it's easy to say, but it's harder to define. How would you define it?
I think, like, to put it in simple terms, it would be your one's ability to come back stronger, smarter, and just overall a better person.
Mm. Yeah, that's a simple but great answer. How, like I said, it's so easy to say. And you spoke of how you eventually came out of it stronger, and you, for you, it was the driving force of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But how can an individual come out stronger? Because I think it's very easy to let a situation drag you down and feel like, oh, what am I gonna do? This is completely horrible. Like, I am never gonna recover from this. And you coming from a business perspective, I think a business perspective can very much be applied to a personal life perspective as well, because running a business, handling and managing a business, you have to take risks, and you will eventually most definitely face hardships, you will face setbacks, you will maybe even completely start from scratch. And if you let that completely burn you out and just accept that, oh no, okay, well, I start from scratch and I'm gonna give up now, that's never gonna work.
Can't survive.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. How
can I? So generally, I think applying business models into your personal life is a really great approach, because mm-hmm. it will give you that outside perspective into like how you handle your life. A person's, an individual's life for me is similar to a business. You have the CEO, you have the marketing specialist, you have the financial specialist, you have the human resource specialist, you have the technology specialist, you have all this specialist is like our executives in an organization, and you consider yourself an organization. You are the HR, you are the marketing, you're the CEO, you're everything. How would you handle your business if you were the business? Your marketing is, how do you approach people? How do you let people perceive you? How do you want to be perceived in the world? How do your HR could be, who are you going to allow into your life? Just the same way, who are you going to allow into your company? So I think just using all those business models into our personal life is a really great approach, because it will give you the outside perspective. But specifically for resilience, I think at least some of the ways you can build resilience is, as I said earlier, changing the narrative, going from the victim to the, I won't say victor, that will sound like a cliche, but just not becoming the victim.
Right.
Yeah, like, don't personalize it. Don't let life happen to you.
Yeah.
I think one of that would be, you know, changing the narrative. And then you also need to be able to embrace change.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, embracing change is a great thing to say and be able to do. But how do we embrace change, and how do we accept change? Because I think as human beings, really, change is scary, and it's supposed to be scary because it's outside of our comfort zone. And how can we, I guess you've kind of already answered it. It's about like letting go and such.
But to let go, I think letting go is one of the parts, of course. But for me, in order to embrace change, you need to have a system or a path that's very flexible to change as well. You know, we all have dreams, we all have goals, but we have it in this specific strict way. It's like, it's my way or the highway. This is what I want, and this is exactly how it's supposed to be. You can want what you have, or what you want, I mean, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You have a specific goal, you can have a specific path, that, like a specific place that you want to reach. But how you get there, you have to be flexible. You can take route A, route B. I mean, you need to be flexible for those changes to be applied.
Yeah.
I think that's where it starts. It starts with how you set your goals.
Yeah, that it's a difficult thing to answer, but you sound, listening to you, you sound like a very structured person.
A little bit. I'm a Virgo.
Right. Well, have you always been this structured, or at least from my impression, or is it something that has come with time, with years?
I think it has came with time, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How is there any specific reason for it coming, or is it something in your personality?
I think it has a lot to do with responsibility, you know, like I have my own goals, my own dreams that I want to achieve, and at the same time I have my family responsibility. It's not like my family is 100% reliant on me. They mean they can function and they can live without me,
right?
and I'm not talking about in terms of financial support and anything as well, but at the same time I know the decisions that I make. I'm not just going to be the one who faces the consequences. It's also them. So I think I got into the structured way by trying to balance what I want to be, at the same time taking responsibility for others.
Right. Would you say that's a helping factor in handling these different situations? Would you be able to handle all the situations you've been in without this structure?
I have no idea.
I have no idea, no.
I wasn't put in that situation, so I don't know.
True.
I hope I get up, but honest answer will be I have no idea. Maybe I would have been better or would have been worse. Who knows?
Yeah.
But this is what you have right now. This is part of the acceptance that you need to make. Mm. This is what you have right now. This is the life. You just make the best out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that you say that, because I feel like I'm repeating myself a little bit, but I like having structure. Recently, actually, let me retell a conversation I had a few weeks ago. Me and my girlfriend, we were talking about how I didn't know at the time how. How do I say this? I didn't know how I want how I did. I didn't know what kind of structure I wanted in life, and she put it in a very nice way that made a lot of sense. And I think I've never been able to define it as well as she did it in that moment. Because what she said, I love chaos in my professional life. Yeah, not organizement, but in my personal, professional life,
yeah.
I love chaos. I need change. I need to do different things each month, each week, each day. If I don't, I'm gonna be so bored, and I'm gonna start to question what I'm doing with my life. And that's how I am personally. But in my personal life, I am super structured. I need my routines. I wake up at this time. I do that. I do that. And I go to bed at this time, and so on and so on and so on. And if I don't have that structure, I crash and burn. I really do. And I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I found it super interesting that that it can be so different, that I have such chaos professionally, but personal life is super structured. And I don't know.
Everybody needs that balance though, right? Like you cannot be, you know, things cannot be chaotic the whole time. You can't be chaotic in your personal life and your business. And then being in a very organized situation as well can make you a little Yeah. But crazy, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Perfect balance, yeah.
It is. Would you say you have that balance?
I do. Because, for example, the past 3 years, let's say, I've been traveling a lot for work. So losing that structure, especially when it comes to what time you wake up, what time you do this and stuff, like the way it was for me in the beginning of work, when I started, like in the beginning when I started working, and since 2017 has been very different, because I'm in different time zones and every country has different time of work. For example, in the UAE, you can't really get things done in the morning. So I learned to wake up a little late and just have a very relaxed morning. In Ethiopia, in the capital city, everybody wakes up very early. In our household, everybody's up starting from 5:30 a.m. And, you know, kids have to go to school, people have to go to work and stuff. Everybody's doing their daily routine. So I have to adjust to that. I have to wake up early in the morning, go to office in the morning and everything. And when I go to a different city that we're working in within Ethiopia as well, things are a little bit more chill. Actually, that city specifically, people work in the afternoon. You barely get anything in the morning. So.
Really?
The mornings are even more relaxing. Like, I will go for a morning coffee or just for breakfast outside. I have a very chill morning.
It's so nice, though.
Even though it's organized in different places, personally, though, I'm very flexible and I float with the boat wherever I am.
Yeah. You said you traveled a lot. Was it purely for work or is it for pleasure as well?
To be honest with you, the past, let's just narrow it down, the past 3 years, the only time I actually traveled for pure pleasure, like just full on vacation, is twice.
Sorry, it was?
It was only twice.
Oh.
One was for a 2 week vacation. And the other one was for a 3 day vacation. Other than that, I will do both together because I've also been studying since 2017. I did my MBA and then I did my doctoral degree. So I've been having to travel with like different places. Yes. So I'm either studying or working, but I'll separate the time. I mean, I have a little bit, I'll have my fun, but stuff will happen as well. But it's only twice that I actually went for vacation.
So. Okay. Do you work a lot? Or, I mean, it sounds like you do, but...
Honestly, yeah. There's no other way around it.
Right, but you enjoy it.
Oh, I do. I mean, that's part of it as well. I've made the work for me, for who I am.
Yeah. I think, that's also an interesting conversation in itself. Work and, like, you know, the hustle life.
I did that. I think I felt for that. You know, you watch those back-to-back TED Talks and everything. Everyone, there was a moment where everybody was talking about motivation, grinding, the hustle, and all this stuff. And I thought I had to do it. I was sleeping 4 hours a day. I was overdosed on caffeine because I was trying to make myself awake. I thought I had to be like everybody else in order to achieve what I want. And I burned out. Like, it was... It's horrible.
Yeah, I really don't like. I mean, I listen to a lot of people that talk about this hustle mentality and hustle life, but I'm so much against working 24/7 nonstop. Because like you said, you're gonna burn out and you're gonna be overdosing on caffeine eventually, because it's not a healthy lifestyle. No one is gonna. That lifestyle is not going to bring happiness. Sure, it's probably going to bring a lot of good results professionally and maybe economically, but emotionally.
Yeah, I don't agree with that, to be honest. Professionally and financially, gaining something doesn't necessarily equate to a good life.
No.
There are so many people with so much money, so much respect, so much professional life, gonna go that hate their life, that are taking their own lives. So
yeah,
I don't think that necessarily equates to a good life.
No, definitely not. I agree with you 100%. And like you say, there are so many rich people, like millionaires, billionaires, like you say, take their own life or feel miserable. And at the same time, there's so many poor people, or I don't know what to call it.
That live a happy life.
Yeah, exactly. They live the happiest life they've ever lived. And it's an interesting conversation, because it...
I mean, it's a topic of its own as well.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. That could make for an episode in itself. Like you say, there is so many people that like motivational speakers, or like wake up at 5 a.m. and go to work and go for a run first thing you do, all this good stuff.
And this thing, by the way, they don't really consider different businesses and different things.
No,
because they're just speaking generally, and not every business needs, for example, a hairdresser.
Mm.
Hairdresser doesn't need to wake up at 5 a.m.
No.
No one's going to wake up at 5 a.m. and get their hair done.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those things are not flexible. I think it was just fashion for some time, and everybody felt for it. I felt for it very badly. But it doesn't consider everybody's job.
Definitely not.
And it made a lot of people quit their job as well. That's what I noticed. Everybody was like, I need to hustle. I need to have my own business. No, you can live a very happy life being hired and working.
Of course.
You don't have to be a business owner in order to be successful.
No. Yeah, you can be the happiest person working whatever job. And even though I subscribe a lot to the idea of working hard, I'm definitely a big believer in working hard on your own terms. Working hard is definitely not, there's no one answer to what working hard is. Like, working hard can mean doing things, working for 2 hours a day. It can be working the whole day. It can be all these different things, because at the end of the day, each individual is a unique individual. And that's something that everyone needs to remember and be aware of, because I consider myself that I like to say that I work hard, but I don't wake up at 5 a.m. and start to work until 12 in the evening, because that wouldn't make me happy. That would make me miserable.
And there's a difference, by the way, between being busy and being productive. Anybody could be busy the whole day. You can wake up early, go to bed late, but which hours were really productive? When did you actually deliver an outcome throughout those times that you were working?
Exactly. Yeah. Like you said, it's a conversation in itself. And before we stray too far away from
our topic,
I like to go back with the question of why resilience is so important, because we have spoken about what it is, how you can achieve it, but we haven't actually mentioned why anyone should be bothered.
Simple answer is, it's not a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a decision everybody makes.
Right, and how do you mean?
You're going to be forced at one point or another, like, you're going to be forced to be resilient in your life. You have to be resilient in order to survive. You're going to face adversity. You're going to face hardship, big or small, personal life or business life. I don't think there's anybody out there who could say, I didn't go through anything.
Yeah.
I mean, even kids go through something. Even kids need to build their resilience. At school, you're going to get bullied. You're going to have to build your resilience. You lose your job, you're going to have to build your resilience. You lose someone you love, you're going to have to build resilience. It's a very necessary part of our characteristics that we need to build in order to survive.
Yeah.
So I don't think be considered an option or a choice, or there shouldn't be a reason why we have to be resilient. That's we have to be resilient.
End of conversation. I agree with you, because this morning I watched a TED talk on building resilience, and the opening question to the audience was, who here has faced, and she said a few different problems that each and every individual at some point in their life most likely have faced. It was like, who here has had an abortion, who here has had a bad breakup, who here has, and so on and so on. And by the end of it, literally the whole audience was standing up, because every single one has faced any kind of, at least one of these adversities. And so back to your point, every single person will at some point face some kind of problem. And that's why, in my opinion, why it's not a choice, like you say. It's not an option. It just is. you have to.
Yeah.
Even though building, because we speak of building resilience, and you have to be strong through difficult times. That's a great personal trait. But just to play the devil's advocate, the other side of the coin would be to just like charge through the problems and don't complain. I'm pretty sure this is another conversation in itself too, but I think a lot of, at least in high performance environments, there is a lot of people that subscribe to the idea of just being strong, not complain, and just work through it, because you're gonna come out alive. And eventually they don't come out alive. It is a conversation in itself, but how can we, because you need to be resilient, but you also need to be aware of where your personal maximum point is. At what point do you have to realize that, maybe I need to take a step back, relax, and don't keep on going, and to just take, there's another day tomorrow and I can keep on going.
Yeah, no, I think my point in that will be, resilience isn't your ability or pain threshold. So I think that's where the confusion could be. Being resilient doesn't mean tolerating pain or tolerating anything that you're going through and just like, you know, sucking it up and keep moving forward. Here's my friend.
No, it's okay. Yeah.
Being resilient, taking a step back is also part of resilience.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Saying this is not for me, I need to move on. I need to move on to better things, though. It's not, I need to move on and give up in life. This is not working for me. I need to do something else that's going to make me happy. I need to do something else that's not going to put me in danger. I need to do something else or be somewhere else that's going to make me a better person. That's resilience.
Yeah.
Suffering every day is not resilience.
No. Definitely not. So your definition would more be to, like, resilience in itself is more about knowing what is good for you.
I said earlier, it's about becoming stronger, it's becoming smarter, and just doing better, becoming better overall.
Yeah, I like that. I like that you say that. I agree. And because speaking of like handling emotions and such, through doing this podcast, I've talked to a lot of like self-proclaimed spiritual leaders. And it's made for a very interesting conversation. But when speaking of, because they speak a lot about going through hardships and coming out stronger, and essentially what is resilience. And their answer is obviously to find some kind of, I don't want to say greater purpose, but for lack of better words, greater purpose, and some kind of inner peace, in order to control our emotional responses. And how can we as individuals control our emotional responses? Because there is, and this is a very, I think it's a very relevant question, especially in the year we are living in today. How can people control their emotional responses? And the first thing that comes to mind is politics. I mean, politics is a thing that there is a lot of emotions going on inside of. And why can't we have this is probably leading to another topic too, but how can we control our responses to other people's, essentially to other people's responses too, and not let all these emotions overwhelm us and just shut down and start shouting? What's your thoughts on it?
My thoughts on it will be, and especially in regards to politics is also an issue in my country, in Ethiopia. Our country is in the midst of breaking up and becoming different, separate countries.
So, what's happening?
I mean, there's different political groups making their own decisions, selfish decisions, and not really considering the people. And especially if we come down to politics, my answer is 101. It's no politician gives a shit, again, excuse my language, but about the people. I don't care what they say. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they're from.
Right.
I don't care about the people. It's a personal game. So your life is going to be an outcome of their decisions. And when we accept this, when we stop thinking that this politician cares, this politician's going to do this for us, this is going to deliver, this is that, no. Nobody is going to do that. And the moment we accept that, the moment our response to it changes as well. I think that emotional side comes from thinking one is good for you and one is bad for you. That one is going to benefit your life and change your life, and the other won't. Like, our world has been around for thousands, millions, different explanations for that. But yeah, the world has been around, we've been living for, at least that we know of, for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when politics comes to play, some people will benefit, some people won't. Is this a conscious decision done by the government? We don't know. But its effects are going to impact different people in a different way, and not taking it personally is going to be the best decision that we can make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you said it in the beginning too, not taking things personally and not thinking that everything is directed towards you as an individual. And on that note,
that takes out the emotionality, at least that's my perspective.
Yeah, right. On that note, building resilience is, I think it's something that each and every one of us has to find a specific answer to, and it's something that we have to start building from within. And we can't, sure, we can find support from the outside, but in my personal belief, I believe that it's something that we have to find from within and build from within. And in order to be completely and 100% stronger, we have to know where we personally stand on certain situations, in certain situations. And so I guess the question becomes, how, or do you believe that, do you agree with that it should be something, or that it has to be something that comes from within, or can you find help and strength from the outside, from friends, family, partners, loved ones, and so on and so on? Or does it have to come 100% from within yourself and find your own solutions?
It would be a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, it has to come from you, because only you can guarantee 100% supply of that support for yourself. You cannot mm-hmm. guarantee it from anybody else. You can't even guarantee it from your own mother, your children, your partner, friends, family, your community. But it will be great, and will be like the icing on the cake, to have that external support.
Yeah.
Knowing that other people are going to be there for you unconditionally. For example, if you're a business owner, it will help you be more resilient if you know that financially someone in your community has your back, that you're not going to be out in the street, that you're not going to starve to death tonight. Those are going to help you. But that, in like that core support, has to be from within. Because you cannot guarantee anything that happens in the outside. If you're dependent upon the outside world, then the outcome of your life is also going to be dependent on the outside world. If people support you today, you're good. If people don't support you tomorrow, you're not good. And you can, that's it.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And I agree with you. It has to be a little bit of both. Because like you say, if you depend completely on others, one day you may have all the support in the world, and the next day you may not. And
everybody has their own life. I mean, how much can you have to take it on a personal note and say, how much can you actually give someone else the same amount every single day?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And looking at the time, we are coming too close. But I want to end it on a positive and a good note. I think we've had a super interesting conversation, and there is definitely a lot to talk about, and we've touched on subjects that could be an episode in itself many times. Yeah. And but regardless of that, how, I guess, in your own personal words, I know we have already touched on it, but personally, how would you say, like, one step or one tip towards a better self, what would that step be in order to at least start to build a better and stronger version of yourself in terms of resilience?
I think one point will have to be changing the narrative.
Yeah.
I think if you start from there, then you can, because any situation that's happening around you, as I said earlier, consider it as something that's happening to you.
Right. So perspective.
Yeah. Change the perspective, change the narrative. Go from what's happening to you to how you're going to respond to it.
Mm.
Instead of saying, this is happening to me, you can say, oh, this is how I'm going to respond to this situation. So you're right. More in control, and you can start from there.
Yeah. And so be aware of that, if I respond in this way, it's going to lead to this situation. And if I respond in this way, it's going to lead to this situation.
Put the power back in your palms. Like,
yeah.
Take back control.
Yeah. I like that. That's a really good note to end it on. And so we are going to end it on that. And I have to say thank you for, first of all, suggesting this topic, because it made for a great conversation, I think. I'm sure the person or anyone listening to this hopefully got something out of it, and perhaps may start to got help in building some kind of resilience themselves. And yeah, and so with that said, thank you for wanting to speak with me.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been great. Thank you. 1 hour that we had.
Yeah.